Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to Nighthawks Radio, Blog Talk Radio. We on the night. I'm your host, Coach Epps, along with my co-host.
Good evening, everyone.
You supposed to say your name, Coach Cooper. I said along with my co-host.
Oh, you didn't say my name. You always say my name. You introduced me. Now you want to back off after all these programs. Now you want to leave me holding the bag.
Yeah, tonight.
I like when you give me the introduction. I don't like introducing myself because that way it gives you an opportunity to say a few nice words about me.
Okay, I'm your host, Coach Epps, along with my co-host, who needs no introduction, and no, I'm not going to say nice things about you, Coach Cool.
Good evening, everyone.
That's real formal, Coach. Welcome to Nighthawks Radio. We on tonight. Once again, we're here to talk about, this week we have a very interesting topic, Coach Cool.
Oh, you know it.
In lieu of some of the current events that happened in the past week, as always, let's start the top of the show out with the Nighthawks. Didn't have a very successful game last week, Coach. We took an L last week, but you know what? Our spirits are not down, and we're still looking forward to this week's game against the Demolition of Detroit.
No question, we took an L, but quite proud of the ladies. Despite all the adversity and controversy, they kept their chin up, fought through the adversity, and we walked off the field proudly. And out of that, we were able to come up with some new and talented players. Out of that, we've noticed some skills because we had to make some changes, and some bright spots did appear as a result of that game.
Yes, as always, they say in every dark cloud, Coach Coop, there's a silver lining, and you're absolutely right. We found some silver lining in last week's game due to the fact that some players had to step up just like always. A diamond in the rough, we found, Coach Coop, so that was real interesting in how we put that together, and maybe we can be a little more successful this week.
That's it. You know, as we said, women will surprise you. I mean, they play this game, and sometimes, you know, their talents, you know, when they're placed under the gun, a lot of times we have them earmarked for a position, and sometimes they surprise even themselves. But they were able to step up, play the position that they basically was not really suited for, wasn't prepared for, but they were able to jump right in and pull off the task rather amazingly well.
You're absolutely correct there, Coach. Like I said, we just wanted to give you an update on last week's game. And as we said, the Nighthawks, unfortunately, we took an L, Coach. And but, you know, that's the way football goes. On any given Sunday, anybody can lose, Coach.
No question, Coach. But, you know, unfortunately, I would not have liked to have lost that game that way. I expected a much better turnout, but the game was taken out of our hands, Coach.
Well, Coach, I mean, I guess that's the segue into tonight's topic. We're talking about controversial officiating in sports. How you like that topic, Coach?
Oh, that's a hot one tonight, Coach. That's going to be a hot one. Of course, controversial in officiating has been throughout the league. Not only just football, baseball, soccer, you know, and out of poor officiating, you know, unfortunately a lot of tragic things have happened as a result of that.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And I guess what you were alluding to, I think you thought the officiating crew in Pittsburgh last week basically wasn't up to par.
Well, Coach, let me just say this. I had an opportunity. I know this is a family show, and I wanted to take the opportunity, and in order to do that, to describe their the officiating in Pittsburgh, you know, I thought I better use the help of a dictionary. And I thought I'd just maybe just share that with the family audience. Like I said, I used a dictionary to kind of make sure I didn't say anything inappropriately. But, you know, I used, you know, the dictionary and the alphabet as well. So, you know, the first thing I would say, you know, the letter A was atrocious, Coach. then I would say it was biased, blind, careless, disturbing, illicit, I can't use that word, Coach. God awful, horrible, inexcusable, inexcusable, kind of dumb, looking for a paycheck, man, oh, man. How about no call, non-calls, Coach?
Yeah.
Never again. On some kind of medication, piss poor. Let's talk about qualified. No way.
Let me interject here, Coach.
I'm almost finished, Coach.
Well, I'm going to let you get to it, Coach, because I know you've written down a lot and you got a lot to get off your chest. But just like we're trying to get the callers in already, we have a caller. They must understand and like the topic this week as well, Coach. 301 area code, are you there? Hello, caller? 301 area code, are you there?
Now can I finish my list, Coach?
Yeah, I guess you can.
I guess maybe I touched upon all the things that he wanted to say. He probably had an alphabet too, Coach. But let me just say that. They said, and I've heard that they said some of these refs, you know, they had Division I and Division II credentials. And even with that, they must have just been there to collect a paycheck, Coach, at the expense of women's football. So qualified? No way. So back to my list. R, ridiculous. S, screwed up. T, terrible. U, unbelievable. V, null and void. W, what a waste of space. X, they all need to be exiled from the league, Coach, and maybe even demoted back to hopscotch. Y, who knows why. And Z, all I can say is equal sign, star sign, asterisk, and a few other little symbols. So that's my list of officiating, Coach.
Hey, and I think that list says just about everything, Coach. For better insight on controversial officials, what we're alluding to is the game between the Baltimore Nighthawks and the Pittsburgh Passion that took place last Saturday at 7 p.m. in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Well, really just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Cranberry.
In Cranberry County, or town.
Township.
Township. And basically, Coach, like you said, they were supposed to be Division II officiating crew for college, Division I.
And two.
Well, they should have been two, Coach. Yeah, they needed demotion after that poor display of officiating. One of the things that I definitely want to talk about is how officials should not let games get out of hand. And I think for the most part, the game got out of hand and out of the control of the official, which one of the most prominent things of officiating is make sure the game stays under control.
No question about that, Coach. And especially, you know, you have women playing this rough game of football, and, you know, body's going to get twisted, mangled, and players going to do, you know, techniques that because they really haven't had a lot of training at this. They're going to do some things that possibly get themselves injured. And the coaches, as long as well as the staff and as well as the referees, have to be mindful of the safety issue with players.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And I think along those lines, the referees, the officiating crew, has a due diligence to make sure that the safety first mode is always in effect when it comes to sports, Coach.
No question, Coach. I just said, you know, when it comes to officiating, and it may not necessarily be, you know, where we were, but, you know, unfortunately, it was just a travesty. I mean, I can't put any plain into that. And I don't want to beat up on this because, you know, we don't want to get fined and, you know, and have us run off the air and out of the league and get ownership into trouble. But, you know, that was, I mean, all the years that I've coached, Coach. That was the worst display of officiating that I have ever seen in my 30-some-odd years of coaching. and even in playing, Coach. It was just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you're absolutely right, Coach. I mean, one of the things that I think particularly needs to happen with the league itself is they need to take a look at how officiating is done and kind of move away from, in my opinion, hometown officials, you know, from any perspective, Coach. When you bring officials in, we, you know, I know the league is up and coming. You don't have the revenue that the NFL, the NCAA, and some of these other major sporting events and venues have, but you have to take a look at trying to hire officials that is completely
unbiased, Coach.
It's possible. It's possible. I mean, I think it keeps the integrity of the game intact. I think it keeps the safety of the players monitored a lot better because you don't particularly have any type of interest in one team versus another besides the actual true safety and the integrity of the game.
No question, Coach. And when you have poor officiating in any league, especially a startup league, I won't even say a startup league, but any sport, you know, especially when you're trying to get it off the ground, you're trying to get national attention. When you have a display such as, you know, poor officiating on the field, and it's so one-sided that it takes away from what the league is trying to establish. And sometimes you wonder whether or not, you know, when you have a startup program or a startup league, whether or not the officiating can actually damage the future of play, because when sponsors look at this, when people look at this, when players who are involved go through this, it's demoralizing, and especially when they don't have the vested interest of the league itself to promote it in such a way that it's fair, it's equitable, that it's sound, that it's unbiased, that you're going to get a good game. Now, everybody, you're going to have bad calls. That's just part of the culture of any sporting event. You're going to have bad calls, whether it's a strike zone or whether you're playing goalie, whether he stepped out or, you know, those things do happen. But when you have, you know, bad call after bad call after bad call and it's one-sided and you're having players become injured as a result of these things, you know, it really takes away from the league. So you really have to question whether or not, you know, the officials that are on board to bring the league up, they are unbiased, they're trained properly, and they have the interest at heart. I mean, I was told that some teams around the league put the officials' picture in the program. What's that? I mean, that's kind of crazy. I mean, it's almost like you're starting out knowing that you possibly lose the game. But the officials need to buy into it. The league needs to do something so that there isn't any kind of hometown advantage. I mean, until they take a look at that and start doing things where there's referees coming from different locations to officiate a game, that there's none from the home team, none from the visiting team, that's totally centered. Until we reach that point, Coach, it's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue. We saw it last year. It needs to be worked on, and I think those kind of things will, you know, only going to take away from the fan base. It's going to water down the league, and people are going to go elsewhere. Now the question is, are officials doing it to be sabotaged? You know, is it just, hey, this is a, you know, something on the side this season, you know, going along, something for me to do, but I think, if anything, if you are trying to make it to the Division One or the Pro League, here's an opportunity to sharpen your skills, to when you see infractions, to call the infractions, to hone up on your skills and how you deal with both sidelines and address things appropriately. But to come and just, you know, don't see anything that's right in front of you numerous times, are you there just to collect a paycheck? Or you're trying to enhance the league. So that's when maybe the league needs to grow its own officials and get away from some of these individuals who are just there maybe possibly collecting a paycheck, Coach.
You're absolutely right, man, because that begs the question, Coach, whether or not the officials actually take the league seriously.
Good question, exactly.
Because, again, if you have love for a sport, any sport, which official has to have some type of interest in the sport to want to officiate it, you tell me that you wouldn't want to preserve the integrity of the actual sport itself? And why wouldn't you want to preserve the integrity of the sport itself by doing a good job officiating so the quality of the sport can resonate with the fans and not be looked upon as, wow, this is just totally unfair. I'll give you an example. I'm going to bring you back a year or so ago, Coach. We were coaching, and we're not going to name the high school. We were coaching the high school, and we were coaching at we were on the away game. And we played the terrific game, I thought. We started off by throwing a 60-yard pass, which was completed, which was called back for an infraction. The very next play, we ran the ball for 45 yards, which was called back for an infraction. The very next play, we gained 30 yards, and it was called back for an infraction. At the beginning of the game, at that point, it was obvious that the refs was not going to allow us to be productive that day in a manner in which it will be conducive to win.
I remember that well,
Coach. And I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this, Coach, because not only was the integrity of the game in question, the referees and officiating was terrible, and after the game, any time that you have the home team parents
come up and apologize
to the coaching staff for the poor officiating and said it's no way in the world that our kids should even been on the same field with your kids, because that's the disparity that they witness, and we wind up losing the game by 1 point, Coach, and because of things like that. And this went on all game long, Coach.
Right.
And this is when you know that these parents out here is witnessing the same thing that we're witnessing, and they're saying, how can you teach fair play? How can you teach the integrity of something? How can you do that or even tell your son you played a good game that day when you know in fact that you all should have lost and the referees obviously helped you to stay in the game?
No question. I remember that day quite well, Coach, and it was, if anything, you know, hearing that from the parents, you know, it didn't make it any better, but, you know, it did ease some of the tension and the feelings that we all felt on the field, especially after the game. And those, you know, that's in my memory bank. As, you know, that was a bad game. You know, we've been to other games, but the game that was the other day, that was the absolute worst, Coach. And in all my years of coaching, I have never seen a display of that. And if that persists, this league is going to have some issues. It's going to have some serious issues. And you can almost hear it. I mean, how is it, Coach? Explain this to me. How is it? Just say football in general. If you were to watch a game and you've noticed, let's say that the stats, 35, well, no, let's bring it down a little bit. Let's say 16 penalties. That's high, a little high, maybe 15. 15 penalties throughout the game. One team has one, the other one has 14. What does that tell you?
What it tells me, Coach, is that you have a very biased officiating crew.
No question.
Because we all know, and I've been coaching in the league for years and been played on different levels in sports, from collegiate levels to high school levels to semi-pro levels. And one thing I can say definitively is that when you have that type of disparity, you have very biased officiating. Because truth be told, we all said in the old football joke, as you say, or cliche, is it's technically a penalty on every play in football.
No question.
So it's nowhere in the world that you can have a lopsided penalty against one team and the other team is almost error-free. It's nowhere in the world, Coach. That can absolutely happen. I could even see if you say that we're not going to call minute penalties, but it's, you know, through both teams that you're not calling the most minute penalties, but it's fair play on both sides. But it's nowhere in the world one team can have 14 penalties, the other team can have one, when you just about can find any type of infraction on every single play, Coach.
No question, Coach. And, you know, I was looking through some tapes the other day of some Super Bowl games, and one of the commentators mentioned that, and it was a fact that I wasn't even aware of, and quite frankly, it was stunning to me. But he said, in Super Bowl history, that is the venue that has the least number of penalties thrown during the course of a game. Super Bowl, of all that going on. It's a game of perfection, or they're letting the boys play. But it's a fair venue.
I would take the latter of the two, Coach. and I understand what you're alluding to. I mean, but because, like I said, if you're letting both sides play, it's kind of like basketball. You know, I mean, you watch it in the tournaments all the time, and especially the March Madness, the NCAA tournaments, and you see the hard fouls. But you can appreciate the hard fouls when you're letting both sides play and getting away with the hard fouls. But it's when you're calling the hard fouls only on one team, then you start to say, well, if you're even a fan of that team or not, that we don't want to win like this. This is not the way we particularly want to win, and fair play should always rise above bias officiating.
Coach, and if you notice over the past couple of years, if you watch the NF channel and some of the other sports channels, they have started to institute the head ref, to bring him onto the program to explain controversial plays and to clear up any misnomers. But prior to that, I mean, there's always been situations where the head refs get with the officials to review games and to look at where bad calls are made. And, of course, they can't reverse it, but there is someone that actually reviews those bad games. And sometimes those particular officials are sanctioned in such a way they may not make it to the playoff game. They may not make it to, you know, go to a road game, or they may be replaced. So there is a process, at least within the NFL, to sit there and look at game film and determine, you know, how bad the calls are and make some adjustment with the officials. And maybe that's something the league may need to seriously look at that.
And one of the leading leagues for that is the NFL, Coach. I really appreciate some of the things. And that brings me back to Ed Hockley, one of the most prominent NFL officials that's been around a while, well-respected throughout the league. And I remember the game between San Diego and Denver last year, Coach, with the controversial fumble. You know, he even went under the hood to review the call, but nobody could get mad at Ed Hockley after he came back and said what it is that he said, that the fans, the owners, the coaches, everybody could appreciate it, because one thing we're trying to say is we understand referees are human beings and they're fallible to make mistakes like anybody else. But it's when you admit to your mistakes that people can appreciate, and they can say, okay, well, we took one, but, hey, at least everybody understand that it was wrong. And when Ed Hockley came out to the hood and he said that the call should have been deemed a fumble, but however, due to the fact that I inadvertently blew the whistle, that I cannot allow the other team to have the ball, and it was my mistake, unfortunately, but it's still 1st and 10, Denver's ball. I can appreciate that, Coach. The fan could appreciate that. The people watching the game could appreciate that, because we all understand people make mistakes. But it's the fact that he owned up to his mistake on national TV, Coach, and then it was reviewed by Mike Rivera, the head referee of the NFL, during NFL Network, and he also concurred. And that's what people couldn't appreciate, Coach. Not the fact that we expect the referees to be perfect and non-fallible to us, but what we do expect when something is wrong, try to right the wrong, Coach, and try to institute fair play. And because that was a controversial call, he understood that he must be candid about his effort in him making a mistake. And it also cost him, Coach. Like you said, the league fined him for that. You know what I mean? And you can't do no more than that. And he was also not given certain championship games, which he was a Super Bowl referee. So yeah, it is has to be some type of repercussion behind the fact that you're making such a bad mistake and such a highly publicized game, and that we're always trying to institute fair play and the willingness to do it right. And I think the NFL got it right on that, Coach. And this is what needs to happen to some of the local referees in any sport, in any particular venue or any type of town, that it need to be sanctions. There need to be, you know, games you suspend players for foul play. When you look at it and see that the officiator has done something wrong or didn't do something that they should have do, why aren't they?
Absolutely, Coach. But, you know, my hat's off to Ed Hockley. I mean, he's a seasoned veteran, professional. I mean, I've watched his games and been around with his games. You know, he's called games, and he's a true professional. And that's an issue of integrity with him. And you can't take anything away from him. The league did what they were supposed to do by finally reviewing it and finding him accordingly. Now, until we have something like this in this league to be able to review game films, whole game films, the process for the league to sit down, or referees or head referee to be appointed to look at these kinds of things and to make some sound judgments and some corrections. But until that time, when you have, you know, visiting teams, visiting venues that could be biased, I mean, this league is not going to get off the ground the way it should. And it's a travesty, because you've got great women players, you've got some great coaching staffs, and to have it all to be diminished by poor refereeing, poor officiating, the league needs to step back and take a look at that. And if it really wants to be a Premier League and be competitive with the NFL and any other pro franchise, it needs to take some steps to correct it.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. And this is one of the things the league should take a look into. But we don't know where it's going to lead, Coach, and that's why we're here to talk about it. And I hope we can get the caller. We had a 301 earlier, cold caller, but unfortunately, due to technical difficulties or something, we couldn't get him through. But you're more than welcome to chime in on the conversation. We're here at area code 347-826-7278. Please, we would love to hear from you and your experience about bad officiating. And just like we try to stay impartial on the Nighthawks radio we on tonight, we'd like to hear about some great officiating.
No question. You know, there's some good officials out there, and you take your hat off to them, you know. But that's what there's a crew. They call it an officiating crew, Coach. You know, you have an opportunity. I mean, there are a lot of rules. There are a lot of little minuscule rules, like the Tuck rule that I can't stand that popped out of obscurity during the Raiders. I'm sorry, I'm getting off on my horse there, Coach. But anyway, there's so many rules in the NFL that, you know, they get together and talk about it, you know, because everybody, you know, could have an area of expertise. You know, you may not be familiar with all the offensive calls. You may not be familiar with all the defensive calls. You may not be familiar with all the different types of holding situations. And that's why they come together and discuss it, make sure they get come out with the right call. But, you know, when people come together and you're still making the wrong call, it's just absurd. I mean, you have five or six individuals that you can rely on, and if you didn't see something, you know, ask for help. And a lot of times, you know, these individuals, whether it be pride or they act like they know it all, they don't ask for help. And when you've got two teams on the field that are equally prepared, and they're expecting, you know, they prepare to be the best on the field, and they deserve to have the best officiating on the field.
Oh, I mean, you're absolutely correct, Coach. It's the old ad of let the players decide the games and not the referees. And that's been going on for eons now with sports and officiating. I mean, and we hope to shed some light on this type of situation. So, like you said, we can get the best out of the product, Coach, and that's what we all always here looking for, the best product that we can possibly get. And it starts with the fact that you have to admit that the product is not that good to increase better productivity, Coach.
No question, Coach. And, you know, we feel strongly about the league, and, you know, we have programs in the past to make suggestions on how to – you know, really get this league off to the ground, because like I said, we've got some great women athletes out there that, that come to practice and work hard every day, sweat and do everything they're supposed to do, and then come game time, you know, they want to, you know, put their, you know, their skills to the test, you know, and go up against someone who has equal skills, and you know, and made a better person come out. You know, if they make some infractions, great. I mean, but call them. But when you have, you know, people just there, you know, who maybe don't feel like running all the way down the sideline or their mind somewhere else, and you know, I mean, you gotta wonder. I mean, are they just there for a paycheck? I mean, come on. I mean, I'm at a loss, Coach. I mean, just.
Well, while you collect your thoughts, Coach, we have a caller from the 410. Area code. Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
How you doing? And you're here to host with Coach Epps and Coach Coots. What is your question?
I didn't really have a question. It was more of a comment regarding tonight's topic. As it pertains to the IWFL and, you know, poor officiating. And I'm going to go out on a limb to say that they had really they should really consider getting this under control before it gets out of hand, because I don't think it's a far-fetched notion for, you know, we have a bunch of women playing football, you know, pretty much in the beginning stages for the most part, most of them. And, you know, a lot of the women have husbands or boyfriends, you know, and in some cases, you know, girlfriends or what have you. They have, you know, significant others. And, you know, we've seen every summer it never fails. You know, every year there's always something on the news about, you know, somebody's parent, you know, hitting a referee after the game. Or, you know, the game getting, you know, canceled or called because, you know, parents got, you know, extra emotional and they were upset at the officiating of the game and they took it out on the referees directly. I'm really going to go out on a limb and say that if that happened in the IWFL, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, a referee were confronted in the parking lot by someone's husband, you know, because the men are going to protect their women, you know. If they see that, you know, a game is being called unfairly or what have you and they don't like it, you know, sometimes people really can't control their tempers. I wouldn't be surprised if something, you know, physical happened after a game as a result of poor officiating, just blatant, you know, missed calls and everything else. So I would, you know, strongly urge, you know, something to happen regarding, you know, how officials are chosen for, you know, home games in the IWFL, because I don't think that that's a far-fetched idea at this point.
And that's a very interesting topic that you bring up, a different point of view, and we love to hear different points of view. But just to put this out there, by no means do we condone any type of violence.
Absolutely.
Or type of retaliation for bad officiating, because, you know, one wrong doesn't cure the other wrong. And it's the way that you have to go about actually trying to cure this situation to make it the best situation that you can be. But being that we're all not naive, we can understand your point of view and where you're going with your point of view, because you're absolutely right. I mean, it becomes a safety issue, and that's always the issue with me, because not only does it become poor officiating, but when you let obvious blatant things go on and people get hurt, you're absolutely right. Your loved ones feel some type of way about any situation, and the male counterparts want to feel a certain round of respect of wanting to protect their significant others, and you're absolutely right. And I mean, and this is why we're talking about this topic tonight, not on a win-loss type of basis, but on the doing the right thing, trying to bring some light to this situation and get this situation under control, as you said, so we can move on to a more prominent and better place for the IWFL and any type of sporting events where it's officiating involved, to create the best, unbiased, impartial, well-refereed officiating game that we can possibly produce.
And not only that, but, you know, over the years, and we've seen it. We've seen it in soccer matches where officials have been killed. We've seen officials up in New England, hockey games, been seriously injured or killed. We've seen it at the Pop Warner level of, you know, referees being chased off the field because, you know, the, you know, parents get out of hand because of either, you know, the way the game was called. But you would hope that when they had these officiating schools, that they show some of this stuff to encourage the referees who decide to go into this endeavor to hone up on their skills on this game, to make sure they call fairly, and let them be aware that these things can happen if they lose control of the game by making, you know, lopsided calls, poor judgment, they're biased, and all the other stuff that goes with it. And you would hope that they would learn from this and by seeing it, ensure that they don't do these things. But, you know, it is they're human. And like I said, I mean, even at this level, if they're looking to go to a next level, that's the time to really put your craft to work and to be able to call a game fairly, explain things to the coaches, you know, because if you go to one sideline and you tell one sideline to do one thing, and then the other sideline is doing what the referee tells them to do and is not being carried out on the other side, and, you know, and referees are just, you know, well, I don't see that over there. Come on. You know, that's just, I mean, just that kind of demeanor just makes it just a hostile area and situation to deal with. And like I said, I mean, it takes a strong-willed and disciplined team not to fall into a situation where they go after the ref, bad-mouth the ref. I mean, for a team to walk off the field with their heads up high and look at that and learn from that, it says a lot.
Hey, you're absolutely right, Coach. One of the things that I also want to encourage is, like you were talking about the NFL Network, Mike Rivera officiating, is why don't you have more dialogue? Why don't you have more dialogue after certain games kind of got out of control? Because the more you talk about it and shed light, I mean, you have dialogue about everything else in the world. Why can't you have dialogue about a particular game? And get the community to buy into it and get them to understand that violence isn't the answer. That we can sit down and talk about some of the things that we need to adjust or work on to perhaps make for a better sporting venue. Because as the caller said, you're right. It's been several incidents in the last several years where things have been getting out of control. And I venture to say, if you had more dialogue after certain games, maybe come back to that high school, bring not that particular official, but another official who runs all the officials to explain some of the things and to give people chances to ask questions of why things went in this particular manner, and for them to have some type of rebuttal and answer for them, people wouldn't be so hostile when they go to these games and think that their voice is just unheard.
No question, Coach, but I can see that venue being a little difficult to do because, you know, right after one game, you know, you're preparing for the next game. And, you know, to kind of disrupt, I mean, if you're doing it for the fan base, that's one thing, but, you know, for the team and team players, because there's another game following up in less than 3 to 5 days, you know, that can be a little bit difficult to do. And you don't want your team to be focused, because we always tell our team, that game's over with, let's move forward, next opponent. And if we keep dwelling on that issue, then those – you know, we're going to dwell on that. It's just like being on the field. Once that play's over, we got to move on. But I think something from or someone or some entity outside of the teams and the families has to oversee the officiating. Something has to be reviewed. Tapes need to be sent in to a central location, maybe a pool of referees, and to look at that game. And if they, you know, see patterns of bad calls or no calls, that they make suggestions and actually sanction some of these referees, because, you know, quite frankly, they get paid pretty good money to you know, for a 2-hour, 3-hour job, and you want the best. I mean, anybody can just stand there.
And like you said, I mean, you know, it's like, what is any type of action without repercussions or consequences? You know, and that's basically what you're saying, Coach. They have nobody to hold them accountable or liable for the things that they do or don't do.
Right.
And that's, quite frankly, what kind of job can you work where you're not held accountable for your actions?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, Carla, are you still there?
Yeah.
And what do you feel about that point of view?
I agree with you 100% that, you know, if there's nothing that, you know, the referees are going to be held accountable for, then they operate with this, you know, sense of autonomy. You know, they realize, you know, maybe the referees, you know, at Pittsburgh or, you know, referees at other games where, you know, calls were kind of controversial or lack thereof, you know, they knew, hey, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going home. I've already been paid and, you know, it is what it is. I live to ref another game. You know, so there has to be some sort of, you know, system and an account where, in effect, where, you know, referees, they have to be able to, you know, answer for, you know, their actions or lack thereof on the field, you know, and especially when it comes to, you know, complaints and, you know, games as, you know, preposterous as the ones that happened this past weekend. There has to be some sort of system in place for them to, you know, have to answer to that.
And I'll take my hat off to the owner of the Nighthawks. You know, last year, this, you know, they, the officiating crew that was there, you know, they their calls, there was just terrible, absolutely terrible, and she refused to do to put up with it. So she went out and sought, you know, another refereeing crew, because you know she's an invested owner and she wants the best for the league, and she was not going to tolerate, you know, just the lack of calls, the no calls, the bad calls, the not controlling the game, and I take my hat off to her. She made a decision. I mean, she could have quite well just stuck with it, but she knows, you know, that there's a greater thing in the horizon, and that's the integrity of the league. And she was not going to stand for it, and she subsequently got a new refereeing crew, and we've seen them, and we played our first home game, and they did an absolutely great job. I mean, we lost the game, but they called a great game.
And you're absolutely correct, Coach, and that's what you want to see, just – a general sense of fair play, you know. I mean, that, and to me, that goes both ways, because even if I'm the home team, and as they say, I got a little home team cooking far as officiating, I wouldn't be too happy with that, Coach, because, you know, ultimately, do you really have a good team? How hard are your women actually working? And these are some of the questions I would have within myself to say that, you know, I don't know really where we're at. If you have to get a couple good calls here and there to help you spin and keep drives alive and potentially win games and things like that. I mean, because, you know, for instance, I'll even take my hat off to the fact that Philadelphia, when we was up in Philly, and I think that officiating crew did a decent job.
I believe,
you know, and they called the sense of fair play, and we beat Philly. But we had a last few minutes drive in the fourth quarter to actually win the game. And I didn't see one bad call on that drive one way or another to help us or either Philly. They tried to call the best game that they could call.
And that's what needs to happen around the league, you know, officiating, you know, such as that. Because, like you said, we're trying to teach these women how to play the game, and the referees can help in that to make sure that, you know, it's a fair call, it's a right call, it's the appropriate call for the situation, and the owners that are around the league need to buy into that. They need to buy into the fact that they need to hold these referees accountable, so this league can flourish and move forward to the heights they want it to be, you know, comparable to that in the NFL, or better than the NFL. But until they do that, and, you know, yes, they're going to be concerned about wins, but they're going to look at the league as a bigger picture.
Yeah, and that's absolutely correct, Coach. What we're going to do here now, we're going to chime in. It's time for the sponsorship.
Well, that's a like quick segue. You just now chime in. You just cut it right off the leg. But you know what? I think I know what you need. You need some of Zeke's coffee, Coach. You need that coffee because I know you started out a little slow in the program tonight. So I want you to go down to Zeke's coffee shop down at Eddie's Market and get yourself a cup and maybe a pound of coffee to get you back on your feet again. So if you want some good coffee, buy the cup or buy the pound. Go down to Zeke's Coffees. Sell of whole coffee beans. That's right, whole, not half, whole coffee beans. And from anywhere, get some nice T-shirts. The summer's coming out. The weather is warm, Coach. Man, I tell you, I just enjoy summer, boy. This, you know, everybody jogging, running, you know, cats walking, dogs running, you know, people running dogs running the people. I was just enjoyed it all. So, you know, get your shirt so you can look fashionably good. Go down to, for beanie wear, for T-shirts and other sports apparel. Go down to White Marsh, Maryland, and you can pick up all your sports wear. And, you know, it's never too late to go get yourself in shape. You know, it's beach time. You know, you want to get a 12-pack, get a 6-pack, head on down to Velocity Sports Performance so you can get your train on so you can look great like me, Coach. Nice, slim, you know, 6'9", you know, 175 pounds, you know, muscles, you know, like Popeye, you know, because, you know, Velocity Sports, you know, that's the way I go, get my stuff on.
And you're absolutely correct, Coach, because you do go to Velocity Sports,
right down there on 1427 Clarkview Road in Mount Washington. And after I leave there, you know where I'm heading, Coach. I'm going downtown.
For peace?
Peace?
And
a cup of Joe. That's it. Cup of Joe. Get me my latte on just before I head out for the night. Because I knew that little caffeine get me going so I can get my swerve on, Coach. And nothing like it. Go down to Peace and Cup of Joe, 713 Pratt Street. For a good cup of coffee and great atmosphere. And as always, you want to sponsor a teammate, sponsor a Nighthawks player, or you sponsor the team itself, you know, go to our website, BaltimoreNighthawks.com. And as always, you know, great sports venue, catch our games, great family atmosphere, you know, great ticket prices during this recession. And go to BrownPaperTickets.com to pick up tickets for the game, or just show up to our next game, which is going to be at Mervo this Saturday. And we're playing the Detroit Demolition, Coach.
Yes, we are, Coach. Detroit's coming to town. We appreciate the women and the owners for coming down from Detroit to play us on Saturday, and it should be an excellent contest, Coach, and we're looking forward to the challenge and looking to get off the snot and back in the winning column.
No question. Detroit had itself handed to them by the D.C. Divas with a 35-0 trouncing. Unfortunately, the game was stopped at the halftime. But, you know, but I think the Demolition was working, coming back. You know, that Detroit coming back, you know, to get back into the groove of things. I think they were trying to get back, but they were down 35-0, because it wasn't going to happen, rain, snow, or anything else. They were done.
Yeah.
So they're coming into Baltimore with a chip on their shoulder, and hopefully we'll send them back home in a new car.
A new car?
Yeah, because it won't be made in Detroit, Coach.
Yeah, that's cute, Coach, real cute. Let's talk about the current sporting events. Are we at the segue where we're going to talk about the current sporting events? We're going to jump around the league, talk about some of the scores and contests from last week. We're going to talk about current sporting events, and let's take it away, Coach.
Yeah, last week we started off with the Punishers playing the Fury, and the Fury took over the Punishers with a 44-0 trouncing. Last Saturday, the Diamonds played the Aftershock, and they made new stones out of them, but it was 59-0 trouncing there. The Amazons took the Breakers into the woods and got them lost with a 42-0. I think they're still in the Amazons, and I don't know if they ever make their way out of that one, Coach. The Warriors beat the Crush 30-0. And over in the Firebirds picked up a win, Coach. I guess they learned something from the last week game when we were up there. They had a, you know, they played a good game, and apparently they learned some stuff from it. And they were able to beat the Crushers by a 31-12 score. And we mentioned the Divas over the Demolition 35-0. And the Mayhem over the Energy, man, I tell you, them Energy, they need some Red Bull or something. Because they got beat again. They lost 28-7 to the Mayhem. Mm. And the Force, ooh, the Force beat the Vixens. Coach, what's a Vixen? Never mind, anyway. 55-0, the Force over the Vixens, Coach. And over on the other side there, we had the Explosion beating up on a Locomotion, 28-6. I think they need some more coal to get that engine going. And let's see, well, the Quake. The Quake is just tearing up the league, 61-0 over the Menace. Man, I'm seeing a lot of zeros on the board, Coach, and it's not looking good.
Wow.
And here's the upset of the week, Coach. The Boston Militia, 21-7 over the New York Sharks. Who would have thunk it? Unbelievable. Welcome to Lost in the Memphis is my first pick. Hey, but my nemesis did get up a win, 14-6 over the Blitz.
Really?
Yeah, I just picked the wrong week, Coach. And the Monsoons beat the Maniacs 12-8. That was a low-scoring game. I guess they were all in the asylum together.
Mm.
Let's see. We had the Fox beating the Nightmares 37-7. Well, them Nightmares, they just they scared themselves. And we had the Nighthawks and the Passions. I'm not going to mention that score. I have to, Coach. I'm unbiased. Passion won that one 49-0 over the Nighthawks with an asterisk. I got to put the asterisk there, Coach. And the Queens beat the Justice 28-20. And how about those Rebels beating up on the Hurricanes 14-0? We had the Shock over the Pride 20-7. And the Majestics over the Sirens 33-8. And the Tigers rolling over the Thunder 68-0. And a big win for the Freedom up in New what is it, up in Boston, right? The Freedom, Boston Freedom, or the Connecticut Freedom?
The Freedom is Manchester.
Manchester, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They whipped up on the Vipers there, 47-0. Well, that's the scores around the league. Stay tuned for more stats there. If you go right to the website, the IWFL, sports.com, and look at the scores and go to the websites and the various teams, your favorite teams, and find out what took place and see some play-by-play information and look at your running leaders and all your passing information. And go to their website. There's a lot of stuff on sale there for the league, promote the league. And that's it.
Hey, and that's an interesting topic of the week, Coach. And like I said, let's get into the current sporting events. Did you hear Brett Favre might be making a comeback?
What, down Louisiana?
No, you know, officially the New York Jets dropped him from the roster, and the Minnesota Vikings is thinking about picking him up, Coach.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I guess this saga will never die, Coach.
Jeez,
it's it's kind of like the Rocky episodes.
You're right. You know, I mean, little question, listen, I mean, I understand his love for the game. I can't take it because, you know, you and I, if we had the opportunity, you know, we would still play too.
Yeah.
And given that, I mean, it's more to me, I think it's more than the money. Brett Favre has enough money. He has enough accolades, maybe not enough underwear commercials, but, you know, he's got enough money. But I think he just plain out loves playing the game. And you got to take your hat off to him for that.
And you absolutely do, Coach. But, just like the famous Kenny Rogers song from back in the day, you got to know when to hold, Coach.
Know when to fold.
Because, hey, my head goes off to him, but he definitely needs to, I think, pretty much hang it up, Coach, and leave his legacy intact as it is already intact, Coach. And one of the things I'm going to say about that, NFL draft was last weekend, Coach. What do you think about the draft?
Ooh, a lot of surprises. I was not surprised that Detroit picked the number one draft pick. I didn't think they signed him a little
Matthew
early.
Stafford?
Matthew Stafford signed him a little early.
Yeah.
And I think they not going to be in the playoffs again this year.
Well, Coach, we talked about the salary cap issue. What did you think about the $43 million signing bonus, Coach?
Coach, that's, you know, here again, you know, we talk about this all the time. Matt Stafford has not thrown a pass in the NFL. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, to pay that kind of money to an unproven player. And I still go back to our earlier show when we talked about, you know, minimum salaries. And, yeah, you know, after that year they demonstrate, you know, their abilities. Hey, hats off, go for the money. But this is just absolutely – and those kind of salaries just dig further into the fan base pocket. You know, when, you know, ticket prices going up, soda's going up, popcorn's going up, souvenirs going up. That one little finger's going to be going up, too. And they ain't going to be on a phone thing, too, when people buy it.
Yeah.
It's going to be coming from the people in the stands.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I said, it was a very interesting weekend around the league last week with the NFL. I mean, there was some controversial things that went on. I mean, the New York Jets surprised everybody and moved up to number five and took Sanchez. That was a surprise move, Coach.
But, you know, I think Sanchez is a better quarterback over Matthew Stafford. I think his awareness and play. It's gonna. You'll see in the long run that. Well, it all depends on the way they handle him. that he's going to be the better quarterback, better draft quarterbacks picked this year, and his performance over Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, well, you know, the critics say that Matthew Stafford is the better mechanics for us being equipped with ability, and they're saying Sanchez is coming on strong. He made a late draft pick surge to move up to the number five pick. At first, he wasn't projected to go number five, coach, you know, and I think he did a great job and proving himself in the combines and the NFL pro day. And I think a lot of people took interest in Sanchez. And we, as every draft class, we'll just see who got the better of the two picks, coach.
No question. But I think, you know, like I said, my pick there was Aaron Curry, and I just think he's going to do an outstanding job there in Seattle. I was hoping he would make it over to the Raiders, but I was not disappointed, you know, with their pick from my hometown favorite, Darius Heyward from Maryland, going to Oakland. So I definitely have a reason to fly out to Oakland now to watch Darius Heyward Bay play.
And I was about to ask you, Coach, what did you think about the Raiders picking up Heyward Bay over time from Michael Crabtree?
Michael Crabtree, I mean, you know, the injury that was a little concern, you know, you see the stuff on TV with his ankle and he had the surgery. You know, if I had the opportunity to go in a store and there was a box that was brand new and it was a box that had tape on it, which one would you pick, Coach?
Well, you know, Coach, I mean, everybody has an opinion. I mean, because like in the episode of the $6 Million Man, he can be rebuilt. We can make him faster and stronger, Coach. So sometimes that tape holds up a little bit better than the original packaging.
Yeah, Coach, but you don't know how long he was on that operating table either. Could have been 6 years.
Yeah.
We need to win now in Raider Nation.
There's no doubt about that, Coach, because you never know how long Raiders got to get back off the snide, because basically this year is going to be your quarterback's telling season. We're going to see, is he going to be have potential or bust?
That's true. Hey, what did my man Sports Geek pick up out there in Chicagoland? I don't see anything. Who'd they pick up? I don't see them on the board here.
Yeah, Sports Geek, he's on the web chat, coach, and, you know, big up to Sports Geek and the Bears.
The Bears? I wonder what they picked up. I'm trying to find that now. I kind of was remiss in not finding that, but I'm trying to search through here. It appears just a little bit slow, but I'd be interested to see if he was satisfied with the pick there in Chicago.
Well, he just replied and said, no one good, coach. But look, I guess he can't wish for everything. He got Jay Cutler. He got Orlando Pace. I mean, what more does he want?
Well, that's true. That's right. He did get Cutler. They get Cutler. And they had his jersey out. They had the cheerleaders out. I saw that on Good Morning America. And, you know, they promoting his jersey. And, he got a small Christmas package. But I think he wants a big Christmas package to be still playing in January, Coach.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I think one thing I can say, though, is I think Chicago went and did what they have to do. Sometimes if you can't get it in the draft, you get it in trade. And I think they made the biggest offseason acquisition in NFL history, Coach.
You think about it? You really feel that way?
Coach, like I said, I can't tell you what the future is going to be, but at this point, to get a 3-year NFL starting quarterback in his prime, Pro Bowl player, and I mean, he's only on the upside, Coach. That got to be one of the biggest trades in NFL history.
Well, you know, I beg to differ with you there, but we'll see. Time will tell, and, you know, Sports Geek will be calling us throughout the years, letting us know if he's really satisfied. I'd be interested to hear from him every week to see if he's satisfied with his play.
Yeah, well, he's confirming and echoing my sentiments that they did pick up a big off-season acquisition, Coach. But like I said, always we're here on Blog Talk Radio. We on the Nighthawks Radio. We appreciate everybody listening to the show topic tonight, controversial officiating, and trying to offer different perspectives on both sides, Coach, positive and negatively, and just trying to bring it together and go into a more positive direction. And what better way to get it rolling with an open discussion and dialogue about how things can be done better.
No question, Coach. The forum that Blog Talk Radio offers, the producers of this show, the sponsors that gives the league and us the opportunity to enhance it, what can you say?
You're absolutely right. And, again, thanks to caller for calling in, the listeners from on the web chat, and all those who hear our voice. We thank once again Blog Talk Radio for having us another week. It's always a true blessing, Coach. And as always, remember, there's no good opinions, there's no bad opinion. It's simply your opinion. Thank you and good night.
Good night.